Time. If I were not part of the team pastoring this church, this would be my church. Hallelujah. Praise God. How's everyone doing? That's right. Blessed and highly favored. Amen. God is good. We embarked on a journey last Sunday talking about family issues, partnering as a family. And a discussion framework is found in this book, Rings of Covenant, that the Lord led me to write many years ago. Now, while we'll be using this as a framework, we're not necessarily going to be discussing what's in the book. We want to discuss more than what's in the book, so that when you read the book, it's an extra. Praise the Lord. We covered a lot of ground last week, talking about unexpected expectations or unreasonable expectations, unrealistic expectations. Today we're going to cover different issues. And this segment is dealing with what we call marriage assassins. We established, firstly, that the purpose of marriage, as far as God is concerned, God said it is not good for the man to be alone. He didn't talk about children, he didn't talk about anything else. He says it's not good for the man to be alone. So you know for certain that if God says it's not good for the man to be alone and made a helpmeet fit for the man, that the target of the enemy is to find any possible way to cause you to be alone. And you can be alone in a group. The enemy really wants to separate you and cause you to be alone. And so there are many ways of attacking to bring about that particular result. You've heard me say it again and again that the passages that Mama picks to read by the Spirit of the Lord are quite interesting because it has to do with the message. Now, we're talking about marriage. We have the book. We didn't even talk about what we're going to talk about because we want it to be organic. We want it to be not something that we pre-thought. We want it to be by the Spirit of God. Now, Mama, what is the word that you see on top of that?
Shame.
Shame. What was the first part of the passage we read about today, about rebellious children? Let's go back.
Isaiah 30.
Let's read the first three or so verses, and let's see what the Word of God says. Woe to the rebellious children, and we'll dive into that a little bit more in a moment. Say the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. Are you remembering Adam and Eve right here, right now? And that cover with a covering. Are you remembering Adam and Eve right now? But not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Are you remembering Adam and Eve right now? That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your what?
Shame.
Be your shame. Are you remembering Adam and Eve? And the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. Well, verse 5 says, they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them. So the first segment of that particular passage of scripture in Isaiah 30 was all about shame. I'll turn it into the discussion part, just trying to lay a framework. Adam and Eve, the first husband and wife, sinned because they did not continue the counsel of God. And the first thing that happened was fear and shame. You know the interesting thing? A lot of people get married without taking counsel from God. They jump into the marriage and then they talk to God about it. They get sexually involved and then they talk to God about it. What do you expect to hear? You've already started your journey the wrong way. And the only thing that comes out of that is shame. And shame generates the greatest impact of aloneness. When you're ashamed, you want to separate yourself. You want to hide yourself. Shame comes through failure. Mama prayed about bankruptcy. What do you have there? What does it say?
Sense of worthlessness.
This one here.
Oh, the bankruptcy.
Yeah. Yes. Everything she was praying is here.
I just want to say something.
Yes.
I never peek through his message. I don't ask him what he's going to preach. There's no need. If he's a man of God, he should spend time asking God. That's it. And that's what I believe. And if I'm a woman of God, I should spend time what? Asking God. God speaks.
Yeah. Speaks the same thing.
Yes.
So, how does this all relate to marriages? What we don't want in a marriage is shame. Because shame causes you to hide things, causes you to become secretive. I don't want him to know about this. I don't want him to know about that. I don't want her to know about this, and so on and so forth. So you begin to hide, and when you begin to hide from each other, you generate the atmosphere that the enemy can work in, and just like breaking open a muscle, he will split you apart and you don't know what happened. Shame, you must deal with. Whatever it is that you are ashamed of, take it to God and deal with it. Now, I don't suggest that you tell your husband or your wife everything, because sometimes he might not be able to handle certain things. But you cannot afford to be in the place of shame. Take it to God. Confess it. Release it. Walk boldly out of it. Because as long as you carry shame, you are in danger of being split apart. Nothing that is hidden in secret stays secret. It will blow up. Hello? Yeah. You're trying to hide it in the basement. It shows up on top of the chimney. Mama, I did my little introduction.
Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, let's wrap the shame thing up. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go. Always go back to God's intent and what God says. So shame is a marriage assassin. Number one, you got married because you love each other and you made a decision to love each other. Now, even if you don't love each other and you lost each other, like lost, L-U-S-T, you still got married, you know, and you are in it. So now that you're in it, there is no what? Getting out of it. Because marriage is a covenant. Covenant are things are cut out of blood. You know, when you are married, I'll come to that. If I forget somebody, just say, I'm not forgetful. I'll come back to it. Let's go to the scripture first. Go back to God. Intent, Genesis 2. We can read from 18 to 25. So let's read it and then I'll just make a commentary. Genesis chapter 2 from 18. And the Lord God said, it is not what? Good that a man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. So that's God's decision. God made the decision for marriage. Marriage is not a good idea that human being came up with and said, oh, we're going to do this thing called marriage. No. God saw that it is good. Amen?
Amen.
God said it's not good. So he put good. Hallelujah. Everything God does is good.
Yes.
So when God saw there is an issue, he dealt with it immediately by himself. He made an executive decision that this is what I want for my family.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are God's family. So marriage is part of God's family. 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So that's pretty clear. So he made a genius man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every single thing was named. The ant is named ant by Adam. In different languages, they have different names. Hallelujah. The serpent have different names in different languages. I don't know how many languages are spoken in the world, but that is the genius, all packed inside one man. Hallelujah. This is all happening one day. May God restore us back.
Amen.
You are a supernatural being. It's impossible for a human to be that way because you are made out of the image and likeness of God. You are supernatural. Somebody say, I'm supernatural.
Supernatural.
The kind of intelligence that is inside you, you've not even tapped to 1% of it. Some say, Lord,
Lord,
quicken
me
by your spirit.
By your spirit.
The answer and solution for everything is in you. That was just only one thing that needed a solution. Name these things. And he did all of it. Any moving creature, any living being, he named all of it. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no found an helpmeet for him. The Bible did not tell us that he named the marine creatures, but he named what was in front of him. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But that continued because today we can name them. We can say whale, bluefin tuna, we can call them. We can say crab, shrimp, we can call anything. So that anointing continues. All this is for preparation for marriage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know if that one flew over. If he flew over, say, Holy Spirit, just download it into my spirit. You can't go into a marriage without the wisdom of God. God was preparing Adam for where he's going. 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Master surgeon, the world is still copying that today. It's just that Adam had no scar. It's because the scar is being reserved for the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Somebody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God never intended you to have any scar.
Praise God.
This was before the fall. Say, Lord,
Lord,
restore my scars.
Restore.
23. I'm just skimming. Each one, everything I'm saying can be a message, but we have to control our time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Where did I stop? 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. God brought the woman. God did not say, hey, this babe came out of your flesh. This is your bones. Adam just woke up from the deep sleep and he knew exactly. The power to know what is yours, who belonged to you, has been given to you.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and shall be one flesh. When you are married as a man, you have left home for good. The Bible says you shall leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife and shall be one flesh. Doesn't mean you don't say hello to your mom and dad if you're in the same town, or today you don't have to be with them. You have a phone, you can call. But your decision making and things that you need to do now is not with them. It's not with your spouse. God has called you to oneness. Say amen.
Amen.
This is God's will. Remember, God made this decision. Man did not make it. God put this. Marriage is of God. It's what God made. Just like he made your eyeballs, he made marriage. Say amen. 25 is where I was trying to get to. And they were both what? Naked. The man and his wife. And were not ashamed. So shame was never part of God's plan for us. So when shame enters, shame enters because of sin. May the power of shame be destroyed from all our lives.
Amen.
Destroyed from your marriage.
Amen.
You should be happy about your marriage. You should be proud of your marriage. If you are ashamed of your marriage, you can say, God, this is not what you made for me. I reject this. I receive. So God will begin to work on that spouse of yours, either woman or man. May the root of shame be destroyed.
Praise
in
the
name of Jesus.
Amen.
And most shame come out of guilt. Guilt of sin. The sin has been destroyed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what the word of God tells us. Sin no longer have power over us. May you rise out of the ashes of shame. I can go on more of shame, but let's continue.
Well, did you notice that the factor of not being alone that God said came after Adam had named all the animals? He did that all by himself. So the need of a helpmate was not because he was incapable. The capacity to do was there. Man can function by himself, but God still said it's not good for him to be alone. So the question then is this: why isn't it good? Why isn't it good? Being alone, why isn't that good? You know, I know we talk about, you know, I want to have my own personal time, you know, my caveman time, you know, and all of that. So all that is all nice and good. But you have to watch it. Because Adam and Eve, notice this. God said it's not good for the man to be alone. And Adam and Eve are there, and the devil, via the serpent, is able to have a discussion with Eve. Right? It's a very dangerous thing. I don't care how strong you think you are, to be alone by yourself without having this union that God ordained. Yes, Adam, you can do all of this, but you know what? You need somebody to participate with you, to partner with you. And that's the key, partnering. Everything God does, he does under the auspices of partnership. So God's idea all the while has been this: we are together, we are accomplishing purpose together, we are dreaming together, we are praying together, we are eating and dining together, we are sleeping together, we are all these things together, together, togetherness. Because where there is togetherness, there is power. How good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity? Amen. It's like the oil of anointing that was poured on Aaron's head that ran down his beard and down his skirts. Yes. God wants us to be a unified force.
Amen.
Did you notice that God, speaking about unity, says about men when they try to build a tower, he says, because they are united, nothing shall be impossible for them. So what do you think the devil wants to do? Cause us not to be united. Because unity means that you're not alone. You cannot be unified without there being somebody else. Yeah? So that lying devil that wants to separate you, that must be your target. Anything that's trying to separate you from your spouse, separate you from a common vision, must be the enemy that you both target. That's your serpent that's coming there to tell you different things and to counsel you differently.
He can't, back to the Genesis 1:24. God puts unity right there from beginning. Chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, shall a man what? Leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become what?
One.
One flesh. Two flesh or one?
One.
These are two bodies becoming one. It didn't say one only in that flesh. It's going to be one in flesh and be one what? One flesh. It's in your flesh that you operate with your soul. So one mind. Say amen.
Amen.
Their spirit man is already blessed equally. But where the problem is going to be is that flesh. So God say, for you not to have so many problems and division, get this straight now. Become one flesh. You are one. Once you're married, you are one. So what is happening to the other one? You're going to be a benefactor of it. So if good things are happening to your spouse, good things will happen to you.
Yeah.
If bad things are happening to your spouse, you can fill in the blank. So this is why, as one, you have the power to destroy the works of Satan from your marriage.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. The Bible actually went to the extent of saying, I think, 1 Corinthians 7. I won't have time to go through that. You can study that yourself. It deals with marriage, being single, why you need to be together and why you don't need to be together because of fasting and prayer. You can give yourself a space, but it deals with everything.
Well, you need to come back together.
You need to come back together.
So you don't give room to the devil.
Yeah, so that the devil will not come in and tempt. So that means the devil, just like that serpent in the garden, you know, the serpent is not the devil. The serpent is the first one to yield to the devil. Serpent is just a beast of the field. It's a creeping, it's a walking beast that became a creeping beast. In order to yield to God, so in a marriage, you must yield to one another. Amen?
Yeah.
The Bible actually says submit one to another. Yes, it told the woman to submit to the man, then it now tells you submit to one another. Because to have that oneness, you must submit. Say amen.
Amen.
Love is good, but it's not good. You still need submission. Because you're going to decide things together.
But the devil has made submission a bad word.
Yes, devil says submission is bad. So you rebel. So when you rebel, what happens to rebellion again? Witchcraft. Suffer not a witch to what? Live. I didn't write that. That's the word of the Lord. So rebellion will remove you from the kingdom of God into the kingdom of the world. You be in the kingdom of Egypt representing the world. It's not Egypt, as we're not talking about the nation right now, but what it represented at that time. You know, because there are Christians today in Egypt. Praise the Lord. All nations belong to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Egypt was the place of safety for Jesus to go stay when Herod wanted to kill Jesus. So God has not forgotten Egypt.
That's right.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's against the mindset of a Pharaoh that does not believe in God. So let's get back to that unity. God's intention, this is before fall, God is about unity. And there are so many scriptures. We just read, Apostle preached on Psalm 133, verse 1. There are only three verses there. Say, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to do what? Dwell together in unity. So you must be one in your home. Unity. Amen? Just makes things work well. I think we talked a little bit about that last week. You know, about if we're going north, let's go north. Don't start going east. You know, I remember I was chatting with somebody during the week, and I remember during the Civil War, when we had the Civil War in Nigeria in the 60s, you know, I remember going to the rural area, to the village for the first time, and then I saw a double-headed snake. I just thought it was so fascinating. Mind you, I grew up in the city. I've not been in the village. And then when I saw this, I'm standing there watching this. Don't know whether these things are poisonous. They can bite and you can die, you know. But that was not my view. And it was interesting. This one is trying to go. This head is moving that way and that's moving that way. They were not going anywhere. They were just
stuck.
Like doing this number, you know. This is what happened when we are not in unity. We are not going anywhere. You get stuck. May God free all of us from that.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, and the two shall be one. The two shall be one. That tells us something. For two to be one, two ones to be one, it has to be multiplied. Multiplication. Will you accept that?
Yes.
Because one times one is one. And that brings me to this thought. I want you to listen real good. If you're going to be married, you've got to prepare for it. Actually, the best thing that parents can do for their children, male and female, is not just to educate them so they become engineers and doctors and whatever profession, but to train them to be somebody's husband or somebody's wife someday. Because ultimately, well, not everybody's going to get married, we know that. But ultimately, for society to continue to multiply, that's where everybody ends up. Now, if marriage is a multiplication or a multiplier, Let's put it that way. And you have somebody who is immature. Let's call that person half. And another person who is immature. Let's call that person half. And you multiply two halves. What do you have? A quarter. Is a quarter less than a half?
Yes.
So that tells you something. If you have two immature people coming together, they don't get greater, they become less. Hello? You cannot have two immature people coming together and saying, I love you, I love you. Good. I love you, I love you. Get married. And the next thing we know is fry pans are flying all over the house. Crazy things are happening. Flashing lights every day. You know, blue eyes and green and, you know, all kinds of stuff happening. They are not getting better. They're getting worse. Somebody listening? So if you want to bring something into the relationship that means anything, when you understand that marriage is a multiplier, you grow yourself up. You focus yourself on being the best husband. You focus yourself on being the best wife.
Amen.
Hello? I hope you're listening. Because if you don't, when you cleave, you become less. You know, sometimes cleaving means cutting down. So, child of God, let's understand that we've got to be prepared for marriage. Once upon a time, I thought, you know, before we got married and before any of that, I knew a lot about marriage. Man, I could counsel you. Yeah, I knew it. Everything. Yes, this is how marriage works and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Then I got married and I found out I was so ignorant about marriage. Because you get married to somebody that you don't know, that you need to grow to know. And Bible says, learn about your wife. Vice versa.
Yes.
Because if you don't...
Specifically said the man should learn.
Yeah, you have to tell me that.
Yes. That's the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Say learn.
Yes.
So you have to learn because
complicated.
Women are complicated. It takes a woman to understand a woman. A man can never. So men, let me give you a piece of you'll never be able to understand a woman. So just live by faith. So praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is the greatest advice this morning.
That's the best advice I can give you. Just say praise the Lord. Amen.
Oh,
you know,
glory.
I did something here last week when we were talking. I did something. I used a man's voice. Did you remember that? And say, oh, are you trying to be a man? But that's what men do all the time. If they want to give me illustration, what do they do? Say, ah, oh, please. They never use a man's voice. So praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So women are complicated and fascinated and they're beautiful. Adam said, whoa, he was not taught. He knew right away. That person is mine. That's how much. But he didn't know that she has another special gift that she can communicate with the devil. That was a surprise. Let those who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying. So to be in your home, you must be a man of God. Once you are married, the best thing you can do, get acquainted with God. and control that environment with prayer and the word of God. Otherwise, some extracurricular activities
start showing up.
Will start showing up. And she can get away with it. When she had that conversation with the devil and she already was off, why didn't God just say, hey, my dear, you are off? God was there. God kept quiet. She blew it already out of nothing happened. She was not naked. She was not ashamed. It was after Adam decided to do what she did. Then all the monkeys jump out of the bush. So as a man of God in your home, hold your home. Somebody say, I will hold my home.
I'll hold my home.
Don't go home now and start fighting with your wife and say, Pastor say you have extracurricular activities. You can speak to demons. You know, you come to church, these are the things you are learning. Instead of you to learn the right one, you just take the other one. I got a new job and stuff. No, that's not oneness. We learn this thing so that we can be alert. That's why God has made you the priest of your home. Say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, I'm glad to be in charge.
I'm glad to be in charge.
That was so weak. Because some of you, it's your wife that's controlling your home. She's the one that has to pray. Role reversal. May every role reversal be reversed today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You have to use your baritone to do that. Say amen. And the women can say amen. Are you having fun yet?
Yeah.
This is family talk. We are family. Family of the Most High God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, like our spiritual papa used to say, just take off the mask.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, take the mask off. Throw it in the garbage. They belong to masquerade. Not to us. Say amen.
Amen.
God wants us to be loving and enjoying our home.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
If you're going to be married, you must prepare for it. As we said earlier, two immature people, they become a quarter, two halves. Half times a half equals one quarter. If one is mature, and the other one is half, you remain the same. The one is reduced to a half. So any which way you cut it, if there's immaturity, you're going to be reduced. So if we love each other, we want to mature ourselves to benefit each other, rather than cause our relationship to be less. We want it to be steadfast in the place of unity, because in that place of unity, that's where the commanded blessings of God come.
Amen.
Amen? Now, for those who are not yet married, it is therefore imperative that you prepare for marriage. And parents, prepare your children for marriage. You know, maybe not here in the West, from where I was raised, you know, there's this idea, I guess it's changing with social media and all of that, this idea that this is what women do. They stay in the kitchen, you get pregnant, and you stay in the kitchen, and when I come home, you bring the food and set it in front of me so I can eat.
And you kneel down on your knees.
Yes.
And put
yes.
the tray, my Lord.
Yes. It's a good thing.
Yes. Oh,
hallelujah.
Jesus is Lord.
You raise your child that way, you know, that the woman is supposed to take care of the laundry, take care of the kitchen, take care of this and so on and so forth, but you are going to hang around your cavemen, you know, doing whatever, watching Super Bowl.
Sports and politics.
Sports and politics. And boozing and whatever else, and you think that's what it is, well, that's, you've raised that young man to be an immature man. Secondly, you cannot afford, because that's what's happening in our world today, emasculating a man, causing men to be less than men, not raising men to be men. It's important for a young boy to be raised up as a young man.
Man.
To have a sense of purpose and direction, a drive and a passion to live, and not raise the young man like he's a woman, or raise a young woman like he's a man. No.
That's because most of the homes are broken.
Yeah.
When the house is broken, where's the example? You know, so if a woman, women, thank God for them, you know, when the husband leaves, they have to raise their kid. Or some put them for adoption. But the young man needs to see a man being a man. Mm-hmm. Men are different from women. You know, the way they think and do things is different. So if you only taught the man how to be feminine, he's going to be a feminine man.
Yeah.
He needs to be masculine. So what happens that creates problem in his confidence?
Yeah.
He grows up not being a confident person. You know, let's go back to scripture. Father Abraham, father of faith. Yes, God told him, I want a sacrifice. He took Isaac. Sarah was home. They had to go. But Isaac had to learn about the faith way with his father. They had to climb. He had to carry the wood. That's him putting him. Yes, there's a sacrifice that's going to be done. But also the example of being a strong man. He's learning as they are moving. Now somebody say, I only have girls. Well, don't train a girl to be like a man. Let her be, she's female. If God wanted her to be a man, would have made her to be a man. You can be strong mentally, but you don't have to become masculine. That's confusion. Let's leave things the way God made them.
Yeah.
And let's be confident in who we are.
And that's an issue in our society today. It's so much confusion, like Isaiah 30 talks
Isaiah
about.
30, yes.
It deals with that whole aspect.
Yes. Confusion and shame.
Yeah. So how do we get prepared? The Bible says in Luke 14, starting to read from verse 28, Luke 14:28. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? The idea is, I want to complete the race. I don't want to get married and half down the road, you know, say, I think I made a mistake. So you sit down and you evaluate the situation. Well, John is very cute. Okay? But Johnny, you know, is very popular. Okay? And Johnny just hangs around so many friends. Okay? But I love Johnny. Count the cost. Because Johnny, that is very popular, might not be home. Count the cost.
His popularity does not end when he gets married.
No.
It continues. So that's what you have chosen.
Yeah. That's,
you chose the most popular one. Popular one is there.
Yeah.
So pay the price.
Yeah. You know, she is the life of the party. Mm-hmm. Count the cost.
Yeah.
What does that mean? When you get married, you have to find out whether you've got what it takes to finish this building. It's the instruction of the Lord. Verse 29 goes on and says, lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Because he didn't finish. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Oh, it was a wonderful wedding celebration. Well, the wedding is not the marriage. That's not the marriage. Oh, we spent $100,000, you know, and we had so many people in the party, blah, blah, blah. Good. We went to Hawaii for the honeymoon. That's great. But after the honeymoon, what happens?
You have debt. And you have fighting every day.
That is so real. Down to earth.
And from love to hate.
Yeah.
Because you did not count the cost.
You didn't count the cost. You focus on the wrong thing.
Yes. The people you put the show up, they are in their home enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a different show and drama going on in your own. You put on your mask, they put on their mask. You put on your boxing gloves. And your nightmare begins.
Mascara running.
Yes, masquerading around. So may God deliver us.
Amen. Amen.
From unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, you got to deal with these issues. Sit down and make sure that you evaluate. Don't sugarcoat things that you see. If the guy is always angry about one thing or the other, he's going to carry that thing into your house. Deal with it. He comes and he pushes you around because he's frustrated. Deal with it. Oh, he loves me. He was just frustrated, you know, and he had a bad day. When you get married, the bad days are going to multiply. So you don't bury those things and pretend that it's not happening. You deal with it. Hey, Buster, this thing that you're doing here, straighten up, because I'm not going to have that. Have the confidence. It's better, you know, the Bible says something. It says it's better for the for a man to be hiding at the corner of the rooftop
with than water to be dropping on the hill.
Yeah, than be with the nagging
wife.
Okay. If God doesn't want you to be alone and he says it's better for you to be alone.
Hi.
You know that's serious. Yes. You got to make these proper decisions.
Yes.
You can't pretend.
That's right.
You can't pretend.
Yes.
You know,
there's practical way, you know, to when we're not living under arranged marriage, at least now. Some cultures were doing it. But today you have a choice as a child of God. You can see what you're seeing is what you're going to get. So we already established last week that you're not going to change anybody. So whatever decision you make about your spouse, that's what you're getting.
It's going to be multiplied.
And then it's going to get worse. Because now, especially if you are both Christians, because light is coming, when there's light in the other one, darkness is going to show up more. So you are just going to see mess all popping. I said, oh my God, I'm married to Satan. No. It was there all along. You saw the sign. You saw the sign. But it was pleasant to the eyes for eating. All you saw was the curves. All you saw were the biceps. All you saw were the flashy car or the beautiful home or whatever. The beauty that fades. That's all you saw. You did not look at the substance. The substance was there staring at you. You saw it. First time the person was fuming, they stepped on your toe. Said, oh, I apologize, my dear, you know. But next time they were fuming, they did it again. This time it was a little bit harder. Oh. He's an abuser. He's going to abuse you later. But you still carry on.
Because you want to be married.
Yes. Last time you caught them in a lie. You pretended, I didn't hear that. Let me just pretend. Oh, the package looks too good. But he's going to stab you to death later. Or she. Because you have women murderers too, not only men. So, you saw, but you did not inquire of the Lord. Your pleasant to the eyes was what was driving you. May God deliver us and help us.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're already in that kind of a nightmarish marriage, remember marriage is a covenant, it's not too late. You got to pray. It just takes time. It will go away. Deliverance can still come.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
If God can deliver Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law, from being a Moabitess and put Jesus in her lineage, nothing is too difficult for our God.
Amen.
He can turn every misfortune around.
Hallelujah.
He can turn our life around.
Amen.
So today, if you're an abuser, just stop. Say, Jesus, help me. Today, if you're a liar, just stop. Say, Jesus, help me. Whatever it is, may God deliver us and help us.
Amen.
And bring healing to our marriage.
Amen.
And to our relationship.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We'll begin to wrap this up. But this next two or three things that we need to put down about preparing. The Word of God says, this is study the Word of God in 2 Timothy 2:15, to be a workman approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be what?
Ashamed.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to be married, study. Read books. Read the Word of God primarily. And what does it take to be a good husband? What does it take to be a good wife? What does it take to be one who partners together? Study. Have that inside of you. And that's something you can start early. You know, when you become a teenager, even though you're not planning on getting married yet, mother, father, help. Bring those things into play. You know, we're sharing these things now. You know, I wish somebody taught me that. when I was growing up. But now, on this side of marriage, I can now say, you know, these are necessary things. You know, as a parent, raising up your children, instilling them principles, you know, from the Word of God, so that they know how to maneuver through life. And one of the things that is important is this, that you don't hop on every single thing that's happening in your marriage or in your relationship. Pick your fights. Really, you got to pick your fights properly.
Amen.
Not everything is important. You know, if the person, let's say the person is in the hospital or whatever, you're not going to be thinking about this thing and that thing because those things become unimportant.
That's right.
But there are certain things that are very important that you need to look at and say, hey, we need to get these kind of things in proper order, because these things are important. These are life issues. But some things really, you know, discuss it, but don't go die for it. If the guy leaves his sock, it's an issue. But that's not what dying for. I've told him about it 20 times. He's still not taking up the sock. He's still not putting down the toilet seat. He's still, that's not what dying for. They are issues, but they are not that important.
It's not an issue for the one doing it, but it's an issue for you. So the best thing, they're not going to change. So change yourself and be seen. Instead of becoming insane.
There you... Give me five.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, because, you know, when you think about it, so many relationships fall apart because of unnecessary things. Even churches fall apart because of unnecessary things.
Yes.
I don't like the color of the carpet. Split. What is that all about? That's foolishness. You know, sit down and...
It's a control issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wanted to be in control, but somebody controlled that, so you peeved.
Another five.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So, when these things are happening, sometimes it looks like it's the devil, but sometimes it's really not the devil. It's God showing your heart where you are weak, and he wants you to be strong. So that sucks issue will continue for the next 20-something years until you surrender. So when you begin to see in this way, it helps you, it brings your deliverance. Because the issue is not, the troublemaker is no, there's no problem with the troublemaker. They're having a good time. You're the one seeing it as it's trouble. Yeah, they're having a good time. They don't see what you're talking about. What's that? So save yourself and say, oh God, I didn't know this issue is still here. Pluck it out of my life. You are the one having a problem in loving through that situation. Say, Lord, keep my mind sane.
Amen.
Because you already know it is wrong, but you're not able to take it because the other person keep doing it. Well, it took me a long time to figure that out, but I figured it out. So praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah, seriously, you know, pick your fights. You know, don't jump and hop on every single thing. Because remember, the issue is about being what? Alone. Okay. Now, let us wrap it up by going to Proverbs 18, 21 and 22. Are you enjoying this time? Yes. Praise God. It says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They're going to eat the fruit of what they say, whether it's life or death. And then it says in 22, whoso findeth a wife, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. If you find in it, it must be that you're looking for it. Yeah, you can find something by stumbling into it, but most times finding has to do with looking for something. It says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Why? It says, and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? So the assignment of man is to ask God for favor. God, favor me. That young man that you're raising up, pray for him and say, God, favor my son. Favor him so that he will find a good thing.
Amen.
A wife, a good wife, because a wife is a multiplier. Amen? A wife multiplies you, a wife increases you. A man is a man by himself. A woman is a woman by herself. But when a man and a woman come together, they produce. Yeah? And when those two, the egg and the sperm, meet together, they begin the multiplying process. It's just one cell, and it begins to multiply. An increase, and before you know it, the eyes are there, the nose is there, and everything is there. And it happens all in her womb. And one day she births it. Well, if that is true, we've got to be careful what seeds we sow. Whether we're sowing seeds of life or death. Now, there are times, you know, when you think about life and death, we think about life as good and death as bad. That's not exactly what God is trying to talk about. While that is true, because there are some things that you need to speak life to, and there are certain things that you need to speak death to. Amen? Some things need to die, and you speak it out of your mouth so that you can get the fruit at the end. Unhindered, no weeds. So today we need to do this whether we're married or yet to be married. We need to begin to speak life to those things that we want to see happen in our relationship and speak death to everything that we don't want in our relationships. If the Lord guides us this way, maybe next week we'll talk about baggages and stuff like that, but that's just me thinking. The Lord will direct our path. But really, speak life to those things that you know are good, things that are wholesome, and speak death to everything that you don't want in your life. Don't confirm what the devil's agenda is. Only say what you want to see happen in your relationship. Amen? Don't be going around, you know, calling that woman or that man stupid, dummy, stubborn, crazy, foolish, you know, and whatever else, you know, because they acted that way. Say what you want. Destroy what you don't want. Amen? Don't speak it into their lives, because you're only confirming that evil in them, and you eat the fruit thereof. The more you say what you don't want, the more you're going to have what you don't want. That makes sense? Okay? So you're not lying when the guy is acting foolish and you say, I thank God for a wise man. You're not lying. You're speaking the language of faith. You're saying to this mountain, be thou removed. I don't want you. This is what I want. Well, if you're there, the guy did something foolish, and you say, you foolish man, you'll never amount to anything. Guess what? He will not amount to anything, and when you want something from him, he will not amount to it. And you're wondering, well, I said it, you don't amount to anything. And he says, yes, you're receiving the fruit. I don't amount to anything, and you're getting no amount to anything. So what are we complaining about? Speak what you want.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'll let you wrap up.
Yeah. Wrapping up, you said it. So, you know, the man is the one that sows the seed. The word of God in Mark 4 said, the sower went out and sowed the seed. Man is a natural seed carrier. They carry seed and they sow seed. Women don't sow seed. They just nurture seed. They are receivers. So in a marriage, what you want in a marriage, sow only that. If you sow the wrong thing, it's going to be multiplied to you. You give a woman a little flour and water, she's going to bake you a bread. So if you don't want to eat that kind of bread of sorrow, don't sow it. She multiplies anything you give to her. So if you sow the right seed, that's what we read in Proverbs 18. See, death, 21, 22, death and life are in the what? Power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. 22, whosoever findeth a wife, findeth what? A good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So the goal in the marriage is to obtain favor, not to obtain sorrow. Say amen.
Amen.
You will never obtain sorrow in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So sow good seeds. What are the good seeds? That means you must learn. That's why the Bible says learn. Learn who she is. What? Because the man is happy by himself. Put a man in a jungle, he's happy. Doesn't have to take a bath for 30 days, he's good. He's content. But put a woman with that man in that jungle, she's already imagining all kinds of crazy stuff. The man is happy. He can smell like the wild. He doesn't care. Doesn't have to brush his teeth for the next 30 days. He's happy. He's not complaining. But put a woman in that equation, there's trouble. So sow the seed you want. So if she doesn't like bad breath, brush your teeth.
Amen.
Amen. If she doesn't like to see your mess in the toilet, flush it. Because she's going to multiply that for you all day long. She's a multiplier. One mess equals what? Not 10. The Bible says God will bless you 1,000 times more. If you want 1,000 times nagging over toilet, go ahead. Say praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And men don't like disturbance. They like peace. They are happy with very easy, simple things. Make them happy. Women are not so. That's why I say it takes a woman. So that's why I say let the mothers in the church teach the younger ones. That's what the Bible says. It is well.
Amen.
We're going to get it right. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you nag and nag him and he gets sick and he dies, you become a widow. Because women can tolerate a lot of pain and different things. So remember the Bible says, I will greatly multiply her sorrow. So she's used to having sorrow and she knows how to get out of it. The man is not used to that. So in the world, we say women outlived men. Why? They have something inside them. But let's bring peace to our home so that we can all grow old together.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we thank God for... Amen. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. We thank God for the opportunity to share this time with us. This is what we're going to be doing this month. And next month it's going to be something else and so on and so forth. But we just want to declare that the families of Glory and Peace Church are families and partners of this ministry are operating in wholesome relationships. Peace and harmony is in our homes, that we operate in divine prosperity, divine peace, fruitful and multiplying and subduing all things that need to be subdued to the glory of God. We declare victory in your homes.
Amen.
And we declare that peace reigns in your homes.
Amen.
That the joy of the Lord be your strength.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Well, at this time, we're going to...
Can I say a quick prayer over marriage?
Please.
Father, to all those who are listening and every one of us here, hearing the sound of my voice, that you bring healing to all the marriages.
Amen.
All the relationship and all the young people that are going to be married. Let the example not be the mistake they have seen, but let it be the example of the Lord that will come into their lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Restore, 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 restore,
oh,
restore
God,
all families. Restore us back to our original state.
Yes.
Restore us to a place of peace, place of joy,
Amen.
Place of glory, Amen. Place of your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This time we'll share together our offerings, our tithe and our offerings.